You're still listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. On the line with me in Maine is Nate, and in studio with me is Persephone. We're going to be talking now about higher education reform and the big ideas there. Some of them are bad big ideas, and some of them are, you know, maybe have some potential to do some good. There was a Slate article by Jordan Weissman several days ago, which I guess they've changed the title now, but the original title was The Dangerous Conservative Idea for Making College Cheaper. And actually, despite that headline, although I think it's accurate to say that this conservative idea is dangerous, the article was pretty nuanced. In particular, there was one quote that I pulled out that said, "Any conversation about fixing our broken accreditation system needs to think about both sides of the equation, making room for new ideas and pushing out bad ones. Right now, the majority of politicians are focused mostly on the first half, which should worry us all. You can talk about smashing the cartel all you want, but I'm not sure anybody would be happy with what might take its place." So Weissman's main argument in this article is that the Republicans have come up with this idea, and some Democrats, possibly including President Obama — it's a little hard to read what his position is on this — have come up with this idea that the main problem of why college is so expensive right now is the accreditation system. In order to get federal funding and things like that, you have to be accredited. There's an outside non-governmental body that comes up with these accreditations, and there are some problems associated with that. And they say that, you know, this is making it too hard for people to come up with innovative ideas in higher education. One of the examples that they cite is that, you know, some company could have, like, that, you know, Google or something could have an sort of Google University thing that's kind of coming up with their own degree. And maybe they already have something like this, but it's their own kind of degree program that gives the skills to work at Google. And then hopefully, so that it's not just like indentured servitude to Google, you would then be able to, after working at Google for a certain number of years, also be able to potentially apply to other firms that are similar in the industry. My take on this was that some of the ideas being mentioned are fine and potentially very interesting. I mean, that one is too, if it's done well. The question is the way to do that to just destroy the entire accreditation system? Because that's what this is, deregulation. They're literally framing this, the Republicans in Congress, alongside airline deregulation, trucking deregulation, railroad deregulation, telecoms deregulation. There's all kinds of problems with the airline deregulation, you know, not charging enough to actually make money, and then having all sorts of problems and having to get repeated bailouts from the federal government that don't get mentioned very often when people are complaining about Amtrak not being profitable or whatever. So their approach to this seems to be deregulate college and then it will be cheaper. Well, okay, I think that we need to reform the accreditation system, and I think that we need to maybe look at having a governmental version of the accreditation system so that it's not just some unaccountable body outside the system, as long as federal aid and things like that are going to depend on that. But this really seems to be the wrong approach. It also seems to be too narrowly focused. You know, there's a lot of other issues like the for-profit colleges that are really just scams in many cases, that are just charging you a huge amount of money and then aren't actually really giving you much of a degree or anything like that. And we'll get into that a little bit. But that's something that's probably going to get worse with the accreditation system being taken out. It's not great right now, and the system has clearly failed on that front. But there's a number of other things that need to be happening first. Persephone, I know this is a topic that you're somewhat passionate about. I think last summer we had a discussion about President Obama's sort of ideas / complaints about the higher education system. What's your take on this particular idea, or where do you think we need to be going with higher education reform to make it more affordable?
Well, I think that, first of all, great point about in this article and that you brought up, which is that there's just a massive problem where if we open up this system too much, we're going to get even more university.com type situations where it's just like, go online, look up a degree, buy this degree through PayPal. I don't think that that's a good system. That is actually, in that respect, I would say it is what the conservatives argue, where people, there are certain programs that exist. Their goal is to get students to take out loans, to go to this online college that doesn't necessarily achieve anything, that doesn't necessarily provide an education that's useful to people. It gives them the degree that is then completely useless. That, I think, is a very real problem that needs to be addressed. So I'm in complete agreement with the article that if you just open it up without looking at these other issues, you're going to end up in a really bad situation. You want to keep accreditation controlled. There's a great argument for, as they suggested, lowering the accreditation in some way, so having different levels and things like that. I am concerned, as always, with the sort of direct pathway to a job argument in terms of college. I think that obviously if you're going to pay all this money for a college degree, you want to have a job, but that seeing college as this sort of assembly line, building a student into a worker, is a dangerous way to see it. So I think that if we do change or modify the accreditation process, it shouldn't become a situation where it's a checklist of things in terms of, you know, where students end up. I think that it would need to really evaluate it on multiple levels.
Right. I mean, there's lots of potential problems there, especially in this day and age. You're not being shunted into a career for 40 years or something like that and then retiring. You're going to jump around multiple times. So you want to make sure that you're as widely prepared as possible to do a variety of things, which, like I said, you know, if there's a Google University or whatever that's fully accredited for a certain type of degree, it should be transferable in some way after you've done your stint at Google. You don't want to be like stuck there because it's not recognized by anyone else. And that's a potential area where the accreditation is very important. I definitely agree with your idea about having a tiered system. I mean, to me, it seems like a lot of the affordability and education problems come from not having tiers. For example, you know, if you go to law school, you're paying for one type of degree, even if you are never going to practice the really high rolling corporate law or whatever that would make tons and tons of money. You could potentially be doing environmental law or something, but you still need to pay for that degree that potentially allows you to work in the different fields. And that's great if you want to switch between legal fields, but it doesn't help if you know that you want to do pro bono lawyer stuff for the public defenders, things like that. If that's the kind of thing you want to do, it's going to be a lot harder to do that because you've had to pay the huge amount that is based on the highest, most lucrative thing you could be doing with that degree. So in many of these things, having a tiered system seems to me like the way to go for building up your affordability and being able to do certain things that you can't do right now. Nate, what was your take on this?
Yeah, I did an interview a couple of years ago with a guy who was setting up his own sort of like, I think it was called like UnCollege, and it was just sort of like an online type course system. And, you know, just looking into that, it just kind of gave me the idea of these colleges have a lot of, or these not exactly colleges, but, you know, online course systems, slightly different from traditional college. I think they have a lot of potential to teach and disseminate information, especially I've often looked at websites that are, you know, just like straight up lectures from like Harvard or MIT or Yale or something, where it's the actual high quality lecture. But as Persephone has said, and it is somewhat concerning when I'm talking to a guy who's like 23 years old and trying to set up this college, and I didn't really have any reason to believe this guy was especially qualified or, you know, knew what to emphasize or, you know, anything like that. So I just sort of, I wasn't unprofessional, but I sort of was eyebrow raising the entire time as I was on the phone talking to this guy. You know, and I don't think it was particularly disastrous that he set this thing up. But at the same time, you know, if you have people paying money for these colleges, you want to make sure that they're actually getting a quality education, you know, whether or not it's a brick and mortar type college. I think there's definitely a place for online colleges and things that are somewhat new and unorthodox. But at the same time, there are a lot of questionable practices out there, scams, all sorts of things that, you know, if we're completely cutting the cord and deregulating, these kind of things will get more and more common. So I think that's something we should be really concerned about. And I don't really think slashing every single aspect of the accreditation system is necessarily the right way to fix some of the problems that do exist in higher education.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that. I agree.
I think that there's, as you've both mentioned, there are a lot of problems with the current accreditation system. I don't know if you guys remember,
the cost of college, but yeah.
Yeah. All three of us went to high school together. Do you guys remember that? I think it was toward the end of freshman year that there was a big brouhaha over mission statements.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that, Nate?
I do. I'm trying to remember what the specific controversy was over in the mission statement.
Well, that it was just kind of stupid and bland, right? My understanding was that that the high schools, which are under the same system apparently as the colleges, the high schools have to get reaccredited every, I don't know, 3 years or something like that, or 5 years maybe. It's probably 5 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, because you'd want to get everyone out of the high school before you do the reaccreditation. Anyway, and yeah, apparently, and this is mentioned in the Slate article actually, apparently there's a very big thing where the accreditation people are obsessed with mission statements. that they seem to think that a mission statement is like a major window into how good a school is or not. And it's a little weird because the mission statement of a high school should be, yo, we should get these kids out of here with diplomas that mean something and prepare them to do stuff. It's a pretty simple goal, what the mission of a high school is, a public high school. It's a little bit weird to like get all hung up on coming up with like a 52-point constitution or whatever mission statement of our high school. It just seems like that is a little bit too focused on, and that sort of, it's not a window into how good the high schools are. It's a window into how weird the accreditation system is and how truly little it tells you about anything and the quality of these things. And apparently a lot of these so-called for-profit colleges and stuff have been able to kind of get away with it by just coming up with awesome mission statements and websites that look really good. And so they don't have to do, you know, and there are some folks I know that, you know, they maybe are listeners who have done some of these things and maybe it worked out fine, but it's just, it's really hard to sort out which is a legitimate place and which is Serbia's Megatrend University, which I assume you can get a PhD in torrenting there. There's a lot of problems in higher education, but deregulation seems like the complete opposite direction that you want to be going in, because clearly there's a problem of not enough oversight and not enough regulation happening, in my opinion anyway. And again, I mean, what do you guys think about the idea of having a sort of in-house system in the government that's supposed to work on this? It seems odd to me that government funding is dependent on an accreditation system that's outside the government. Nate?
Yeah, I mean, now that you mentioned, I do remember the NEASC. They sort of came in and inspected our school for a while. And as you said, if they're really focusing on or giving a high priority to you know, mission statements and how fancy the websites look and such over necessarily the actual teaching and learning, you know, there definitely seems to be some potential reform or re-emphasis necessary. But at the same time, you know, I feel like slashing regulations often leads to unintended consequences. So we need to be careful about how to proceed.
Again, not to dwell too much on high school, but I mean, this was a situation where like the website that they redid was not in our school colors, and there were wooden desks in the photographs when all of our desks were plastic. It was really all about making everything pretty and very aesthetic. And, you know, I'm rereading the mission statement, and honestly, I don't think it reflects at all what our school was actually like. So it's really all about, you know, talking the talk. It doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on what the school actually teaches.
Final point that I wanted to bring up. Some folks have argued that one of the problems in the affordability of higher education right now is that it's too easy to get financial aid for certain people. And the result of this has been that the colleges know, okay, anyone can get financial aid, essentially. Almost anyone can qualify for it. So let's raise the prices of our degrees because they will still people will still have the money to pay for it. And this causes a number of problems, but the biggest one that I see is that the very low income people who struggle to get into college at all, you know, or they can get in, but they struggle to be able to afford it, even the, you know, the least expensive colleges possible, you know, and state schools have certainly gone up a lot in price as well, not just the private colleges. Those folks who really need that financial aid to make the difference between being able to go to college and not being able to go to college are being pushed out. Or priced out, rather, in favor of people who can afford to go to a college, but the question is, can they afford to go to the college that they want to go to? There's sort of the state schools that are getting increasingly expensive. Then there's the places like Harvard or whatever that will give a lot of generous, you know, endowment aid and things like that. But then there's those less well-endowed private colleges that are very, they have a high price tag and they have some cachet, but they don't have as good programs internally to help lower income folks go there. And they're just jacking up their prices because the government can pay out more financial aid or whoever pays out more financial aid. And so these upper middle class kids from these suburbs, instead of going to a middle tier school in terms of affordability, they can now use financial aid and government aid to go to a very expensive school. I think the one that we've started seeing getting thrown around a lot these days is saying, why is it that you see all these think pieces about the tragedy of the kid who can't pay off his NYU debt or whatever, when, you know, he could have easily afforded to go debt-free to some much less expensive school, but he got financial aid and then was burdened with this student loan process to go to NYU. And it's like, well, how about the kid who can't go to college at all because he's been priced out of the system? Is there anything that we can do to kind of curb that? Should these government programs be open to everyone, or should they be really capped off at a certain income level? It used to be that some of these state education systems were on par with a lot of these private education systems in terms of degree, cachet, and value, but it's expensive to maintain those. There have been cutbacks on the state budget level, and they've also just started, you know, really raising the prices, especially to out-of-state kids to help make up those budget gaps. But, you know, not every school is still as inexpensive as like a University of Wisconsin-Madison or something for an in-state program. You know, a lot of these in-state schools, it's starting to look the same price as some of these private ones, or not that much lower. And a lot of that is being blamed on the financial aid system and the government student loans and things like that. Nate, closing thoughts?
Yeah, I just, you know, there's no reason why online colleges can't and won't be part of the future, and various ways of learning that aren't necessarily going to cost $50,000 a year and require room and board and all that stuff. But at the same time, I'm not exactly willing to slash all regulations. So YoCollege.com is giving accreditation, and, you know, people are paying them thousands of dollars to go to school, quote unquote school. And then they wind up with like a paper diploma and really nothing else and no, you know, actual learning experience because they're not really being taught anything. So I'm just concerned about that. But, you know, at the same time, there's nothing wrong with getting a good lesson plan or a lecture online, too. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Arsenal for Democracy will be right back in just a moment.